Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. That is, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. Praise be to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, and I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ, His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ, in His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, and He has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Oh Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'een, wa yayu al-muslimun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبح اسم ربك العالى الذي خلق فسوى وقدر فهدى, صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Look background for why things are happening as they are today, at least as I'm reading it right now. Everything that could go wrong with me for technology and notes and everything did go wrong today. I'm not missing a thing. I won't even take more time to do that. But alhamdulillah, I'm fond of saying, and it's true, the Jumu'ah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, you know, I prepare as I prepare. Even like right now, there's some people who may or may not be hearing me on Blog Talk. I don't know. Blog Talk was doing its own thing too. But mashallah, it's all right. We have been addressing the woman. It's not that I don't have much to say about the woman and can't say much about it, but it was also in my intention. And Allah locked it in by making it impossible. I couldn't print my notes. I couldn't get my notes from my computer to my iPad to my iPhone. So I'm looking for my notes. That's what you saw me standing doing. He's looking for something. I'm looking for my notes. In any case, so God said, no. That's the way I'm reading it. God said, no, you ain't going to talk about that today. Go on and do this other thing that is on your mind, so go ahead. So I put this in the spirit of public service announcement, right? And it is about the woman is absolutely positively there's such an ocean awaiting that. That's also part of what Allah averted me from the temptation, because there's just so much to be said about it. It's gonna take weeks, probably months, probably a couple of months to actually finish Surah Al-Insyirah. As it relates just to the woman, right? So it's like, okay. But this today is to speak to the why. Because if you don't frame, here's the information. Idea precedes the understanding of fact. That's a very important piece to have. Idea precedes the understanding of fact. Right? There's a book read many years ago called Information Anxiety, and that's one of the ideas in the book. Idea precedes the understanding. Meaning, whatever you think about something, it has to do with the frame that precedes it in your mind. In your mind, you have a frame for whatever. Okay, I say Republicans, right? If I say Republicans, you have a frame that was put in a certain place. Okay, the word comes in, Republican. My frame decides, okay, put that on the left. Or my frame decides, put that on the right, in my mind, right? And all everything else that goes with that, my emotional relationship with it and how I respond, et cetera. So a frame, idea precedes the understanding of fact. So the idea is what provides the context for you to understand it, right? So we're speaking a lot about the woman, right? And in addressing the issue of the woman, it would have been today, part eight. But I want us to understand how this information relates to the primary objective of what it is that we're seeking to accomplish. The big frame for everything that we do as Muslims is to fulfill the order of Allah. وَلْتَقُوا مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ Let there arise out of you an ummah. That's the master mission that doesn't change, hasn't changed, won't change. When you and I have passed from this world, building ummah is the job of everyone who says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That's the mission, right? And it's also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-din as-samih. The religion is simple. The religion is simple. The religion is easy. What Allah has for us to do is very simple. The difficulty is our obedience or our lack of obedience. I'm going to put it this way. That's the trick. The trick is, okay, it's simple, but how you do? But how can I make myself do? Or why don't I do all of the simple things that Al-Islam invites me to do? Pray five times a day. That's simple. Pray five times a day. But how many are actually doing that? Zakat, you have an obligation from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. You have an obligation to give of that for the building of ummah. Okay? But how easy is that? How difficult is that? And you go down the line of all the principles of Al-Islam. When we talk about, as we're talking about the woman is just one feature in the nature of creation. Masterful, indispensable. I know it might seem obvious to you, but how many men and even women? Sometimes women forget themselves. They forget and they don't know. Sometimes a woman doesn't know. Do you really know who you are as a creation of Allah? Not as an ethnic whatever, you know. Not as whatever. Grandmother, mother, wife, whatever. Do you know yourself as a creation from Allah? Do you know what Allah put in you? Do you know why Allah put you where you are, when you are, and how you are, and why he made you that way? So that's just from the woman's perspective. So, you know, if she has some lack of clarity in some measure about herself, we are totally mystified, and history has demonstrated that for as far as we as men are concerned. But Allah created both of us. Allah created the woman. Allah created everything, of course. Allah created the woman, Allah created the man, and Allah created men and women to interact in a particular kind of way, right? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, it has been, i.e. creation. He has created the creation to, let me use this word, conspire in his will to produce what he wants to produce. It's machinery for that purpose. But I'm not a materialist, you know. Now I got to drop a little philosophy there. I'm not a materialist. Oh yeah, he sees the universe as a machine. Well, on one level, at a certain level, you know, quote unquote, at the level of physics, yes, it's a machine. But that's not what it is at the base. But that's another conversation. The idea is that when we say خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, that applies to everything. Allah gave everything a form. Allah gave everything a place within a system. Allah gave everything a capacity and a potential to grow from simple to complex. And Allah has given everything a role in his guidance. All right. So he created the woman, he created the man. So when we confine our focus and conversation to the woman, we're just working on answering that question about the woman. And when I say the woman as a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has a khalq, she has a form. Allah decided to shape women the way that he shaped women. And all the properties of that form, he gave that form all of those properties. It's all his decision. And so when women come, they come as Allah created them. And it's the same for the man. Allah gave man a khalq, gave man a form, and he gave the properties of his form, their properties, to serve his will. And Allah means for the man that he created and the woman that he created, he means for them to interact in a way that he designed. It's his design. So when we interact as man and we interact as woman in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, then that's another part of the process. Khalqa fasawwa. There is a place within the system for everything. For palm trees, for tomatoes, for muskrats, everything. Spiders and salamanders, whatever. Allah has created everything and everything has a place within the system. Everything. It's about knowing its place within the system. I want to say again, when we take as much time as we are taking and have taken thus far for just focusing on the woman, that's the kind of attention that needs to be given such that those who want it and who are around and who are needing it and want to play their proper role, both male and female, you need to have the answer to those questions. What is the khalqa? What is the form of a woman? What is the sawa? What is the place of a woman within the universal system? And we give you a little tidbit to reinforce how important, you've heard me say it, but the woman is a model of the universe itself. See, I was like, so you see why it would take so long to get there? I ain't there yet, brother. I don't know. What? But it is. She is. Because Allah has pointed in that direction about her nature and about nature itself to such an extent that you take the next step to say, well, if God did this and it's feminine, and God did that and it's feminine, and God did that and it's feminine, then the feminine must be important. And the prophet said this about the woman, and the prophet said that about the woman, and the prophet said the woman must be terribly important. By nature. Even this. It is an nisa. The history of the word, that is the word itself, the origin of the word. Whatever you're saying, I'm sure you're right. The idea is the root meaning of this word. En nisa, when we talk about en nisa, the woman, right? Nisa, woman, right? There's a debate. Is it rooted in forgetting? Or is it rooted in socialization, right? Social, because en nisa, it also means the socializer, right? But en nas, we're called en nas, right? As a group, right? Al insan, also plural for that. Are they both from the same root, or is it from forgetting? وَلَا تَنْسَى نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, God said. And don't forget, وَلَا تَنْسَى, same root, same consonants in that. The message is, well, how do you reconcile those two different possible meanings? One of the ways that Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, my teacher, he said, it's that which men tend to forget and that which tends to make men forget. Is it not true that men tend to forget women? And is it not true that we as men tend to forget? Is it not true that Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, what was his sin? He forgot. So what does that mean? It suggests that it's the nature of man to forget. Sister, all you got to do is send your husband to the grocery store, and when he comes back, you'll see what I'm talking about. So I think we have sufficient evidence to associate forgetting and the woman, and the man tends to forget the woman. Now, if you don't even know about the woman, you don't even know what you should know in order to forget it. The idea is that we need to know that for a fact, because in order to fulfill the building of ummah in the way that Allah intends, men and women have to do it together, but you can't do it together as unnatural beings. An unnatural woman and an unnatural man cannot build ummah. What is unnatural? Unnatural is not acting in accordance with the nature that Allah gave you. When you're not acting in accordance with the nature that Allah gave you, then you're not fitting into the plan. And the plan can't come out of that relationship. So women need to know who they are as created by Allah, and men need to know who they are as created by Allah. That covers the khalq, khalaqa. That covers chapter 1. Okay? What's the next thing? Fasawwa. Fasawwa. What is the place within the, what is the man's place within the system? The universal system. That is man without thinking about the woman. And what is the woman's place in the universal system? Woman without thinking about the man. Sister, we have brothers who are not married. We have women who are not married. That is men and women who are not married. But they're still men and women. They are still men and women. Okay? So, becoming the man that Allah created us to be, and there's instruction for that in the Quran. All right? And there's instructions for that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Women, the same. Instructions for the woman in Quran. Instructions for the man in Quran. The mission of every man and every woman is to be what Allah created them to be. When Allah said, when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asked by Pharaoh, he said, who is the Lord of you two, Moses? Who is the Lord of you? Because this is Aaron and Moses had come to Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh asked, well, who is this Lord of you two? I know no God other than myself. Who is this Lord you talking about? And the answer was, هو الذي أتعه كل شيء خلقه ثم هذا. He, Allah, is the one who gave to everything, أَتَاهُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, gave to everything خَلْقَهُ, its form, ثُمَّ هَادَ. Now, again, for reading, which is a critical thing, that point that I wanted to make today, the idea of reading, with, so you have these four, خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَادَ, four, but then Moses only mentioned two. أَتَاهُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَادَ. So what was not mentioned is sawa and qaddara. But once you understand that quatrain, those four, then you know that he's talking about all four, but he's just saying the beginning and the end. And that book ends the whole process. He's the one that khalaqa sawa qaddara hada when you read it out, right? So the idea is, though, that why on just those two? Talking about reading again. Why just those two? Because there's another message when you only mention the two. What is the message? In the form, khalq, is the hada, guidance. In the form is the guidance. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaking to us of our way of life, وَلَا تَبْدِلَ وَلَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِلَ, don't change the form that Allah has put you in. Because when you change the form, you distort the guidance. You know you ain't got no business drinking whiskey. You knew that the first drink, didn't you? I ain't never drink. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. That's good. But for those who did, let me use you as an example. Well, isn't there a message in that? Right? Same way with that first toke. Some of y'all old enough to know what that means. It's like that first cigarette, whatever it was, is like, now you know that don't belong in here. And that other thing, now you know that don't belong there. Right? Leave it alone. So we move on. So the form, in the form is the guidance. Right? So the idea, as we conclude this portion of the khutbah, is that the reason we need to definitively understand as creations of Allah our form, is so that we can come into the right form, and in that form come into our right place within the universal system. See, when you're not true to what Allah created you as, in a manner of speaking, you're an outlaw in creation. You're a criminal in creation. And the creation will seem at times that it's against you. Why? Because you're not in the right place in the right time doing the right thing. And the creation says, whenever this happens, that happens. This goes to the qadr. And we won't speak to that right this moment. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. آمين. الله أكبر. خلق فسوى وقدر فهذا. So this is why we have to spend as much time as we must in order for us to know who we are as creations of Allah. Because our way of life is Din al-Fitr. Our way of life is the way of life that's patterned on the natural order of things. But if you don't know your place in the natural order of things, then you can't realize that next step. Qaddara. Qaddara. God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, listen. Each one of us is a small universe. I don't know if some of you think I'm just up here entertaining myself. It's like, this is your life. parenthetical. I'm not going to go heavy soapbox on you, but parenthetical. There are developments going on in the world right now that by the time 2026 rolls around, if you don't have some kind of arc that you're on, excuse the language, you're screwed. I'm very serious. I mean, we had the earthquake 1989 over here. Earthquake. Y'all remember? Lights out. Nothing this, nothing that, nothing that. So I said, well, I just go to the store and get such and so-and-so. I mean, it took me all the way to get to the store to be reminded, fool, everything shut down. You got a $100 bill? We can't make no change. So that flashlight either going to cost you $100 or you ain't going to get one. See, where was that coming from? In Fahim Shuaib. Oh, everything going to be all right. Literally, if I get really down to what was going on in psyche, oh, the white man ain't going to let everything shut down. I know we don't want to admit that, but we're so confident in this world's order that we are going to be okay no matter what happens. Listen, what they say? If you ain't in the meeting, then you're on the menu, something like that. Do you understand that there are people with power who have a vision of what's happening in the global ghetto? I'm going to use war commentary here. The world is ghetto. There's people who saw 60 years ago and before, but I'm just stick with 60, where the world would be about this time and what the economic situation would be about this time and how long this game that we're running is has got gas. We feel the game running out of gas. Okay, so we need to start putting plan B in place for when the car stops. Are you in that plan? Are you in that plan? Are you in that? Yeah, they told me. Yeah, it's good. So all I got to do is just say, man. I mean, really ask yourself, what do I really know about what's really going on? And what do I really know that I should be doing in order to protect myself from what I feel and sense as some horrible eventualities coming? What am I doing? So I'm saying that to say to us, if you don't have Al-Islam right, what you got? I mean, really. I'm saying whatever's going on is so big. So ominous. So monstrous that this dependence on Allah, brother and sister, it can't just be in word alone. You have to tie your camel and trust Allah. I'm almost done. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a hadith speaking to his people at his time. He said, you are living in a time, that is, you're in my presence, the Prophet, You're in my presence, and you have been in the presence of the miracle revelation of the Quran. And you are in a time where if you fail to practice one-tenth of what you've been given, you will be punished. You saw me. You've seen the revelation. You've seen the victories. So you have no excuses for not believing. And if you fail to practice one-tenth of it, he said to his people, you fail, you're going to be punished for that. He said, but there's coming a time. It will be so terrible that those who are able to even practice one-tenth of what they've received, they will be victorious. So if Muslims are not victorious right now, it suggests, if the Prophet is true, and he is, we ain't even practicing one-tenth of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can Muslims be in a condition that they're in the world as weak and as powerless, etc., in the world, and they have Allah, the Prophet, the Quran, and al-Islam? How do we get in that condition if we're practicing the religion? How? What do you want to say? You want to say the white man and the Jacobite and the whatever, the Israelis or whatever? They got that much power. They're going to override all the Islamic power of God, the Prophet, and the Quran. Hell no. And there's the Pinsmuller. I know. I'm a little long. I'm almost done. The Pinsmuller Institute, they did this. They took a study, and they demonstrated that the tipping point for any successful movement, tipping point, you know, you've heard the idea about escape velocity, tipping point, there's a fission term, there's a F-I-S-S-I-O-N, but it doesn't matter. Either way, when 10% of a group or a population adopt a particular position, it becomes the tipping point for everybody else in that grouping to take that same position. Only 10% can change the whole. So again, this reiterates the idea that we're not even practicing one-tenth of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And we don't have the patience to learn what we need to learn in order to get to be able to practice that one-tenth. So that becomes the people that deserve to be punished. You have it. You have the best way of life. You have Allah. You have the Quran. You have the Prophet. You have the freedom to practice the way of life. But then you don't. So that's a part of the warning. He said the message of those who bring the good news and as warnings. And I'm telling you, it is a warning what I'm giving. It's a warning to all of us, right? So what we have to do, I'm going to continue in terms of when we understand the power and the significance and the importance of the woman as a creation of Allah and to everything I'm talking about. Everything I'm talking about, when the woman is down with God the way that she's supposed to be down with God, and she has a man, a husband, that is down with God in the way that he should be, that team is a powerful, powerful team. But the man has to be the man, and the woman has to be the woman that Allah created. So this whole misperception, misunderstanding, misapplication, misuse and abuse and absence from marriage. I'm trying to say that if we get the al-Islam straight in these areas that seem simple, they are such a catalyst for so much power. But failure in that area is also the source of so much of our weakness. So much of our weakness is because of the weakness of our male-female relationships. Weak relationships. Husband to wife, wife to husband, absent relationship between men and women, and women and men. It's like, that's where the weakness is. Allah said He will never change the grace He bestows upon the people until they change it themselves of what is in their own soul. You don't turn to God and say, oh God, but your food is haram, your dress is haram, and whatever else I'm missing. Your drink is haram. And you expect an answer from God? Now I understand why things went so wrong for me on the other side today. It's like, oh yeah, this is the message. Get straight or die. I'm going to say it again. Get straight or die. Stop playing. Stop playing with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us. Stop playing. Because each one of us has an individual life. And Allah can take it. And He can take it in ways where you're still standing on this earth. But Allah has stripped you of everything that gives you a life. So you're walking dead. Does that sound serious enough for you? So like they say, I'm going to put it on the hood. Stop playing. Stop playing with me. That's God. Stop playing with me. We do that, inshallah, with His help and grace, we'll be fine. له لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا عليك وعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة من ذريات ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولي ولدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما Allah, we thank you for your graces, we thank you for your blessings, we thank you for your guidance. We beg you and beg you and beg you and beg you for your forgiveness. Allah, strengthen us. Allah bless us to live the life that you created us for. We beg that you only for none can grant with all this but you. Amen. Come on.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role. You mighty people and play your role.
I'll bring it down now. You know that we got a job to do. I'm talking to you and you and you. Every man, a woman, boy and girl. We got the job to remake the world. So get up,
you mighty people, there you go.
Get up,
you mighty people,
and get up,
there you go.
Get up,
you mighty people, there you go.
Get up,
you mighty people, there you go.
To remake the world, we got to start with this land. Our country is sinking in the sand. The president is just one man. He can't solve everything, but united we can. Oh, you people can lend a hand. An example of God and great demand. Come on, be a great woman, be a strong man. Show the American how to be American. And get up,
you mighty people, there you go.
Get up,
you mighty
come on, and get up,
you
come on, and get up.
You mighty people, there you go.
Get up,
you mighty people, and there you go.
Remake the world.
Now.
Remake the land.
Now.
You got to
start with your neighborhood.
Let's keep them clean, because we should get the children involved, and then they would not grow to be tough, grow to be hood. If you want to do some good,
get up.
You might as well play your role.
Get up.
You might as well
play your role.
Get up.
You
might as well play your role.
Get up.
You might as well play your role.
Yeah, now the most important part must be dealt to ten. To your countries, help to add to your communities, well, to give your children some help. I got, you got, you got, you got, we got to listen to what I tell you, to put the world in the right state of health. Remake the world by remaking yourself, and get up.
You might as well play your role.
Get up.
You might as well play your role.
Get up.
You might as well play your role.
Get up.
You might as well play your role. You might as well play your role.
You might as well
play your role.
You might as well
play your role.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله thank you for joining us this morning for Universal Dimension of Leadership الحمد لله as we continue our journey into the subject matter of the woman الحمد لله we just aired yesterday's recording of Juma Live from Master the World Theme, and I subtitled The Woman Part 8, subtitled it Public Service Announcement. And that's the idea. It's like we got to alert and actually something happened yesterday. Actually, and no doubt you all are on the same system, but there was a flood warning, you know, so they sent out the emergency alert. There's a flood alert for Oakland for this period of time, until that period of time. Okay, good. Then we got another, mashallah, no flood, but we got the alert. Then yesterday, you know, power outage. They said, well, there's a power outage. It's going to last till 10 o'clock, what have you. So this is a public service announcement, meaning that something potentially, whatever, annoying, hurtful, dangerous, threatening, that, you know, you get the Amber Alerts also. So that's the spirit of my comments from yesterday, the spirit of my khutbah yesterday. But as those of you who are there from the beginning, that is listening from the beginning, I tell you, I actually said, because I didn't know what was actually going to be said in a formal way, wallahi, Allahu a'lam. There's no boast, I'm just telling you, that everything, Allah just took away everything. No notes, no this, no that, no this, you know, please. Those of you who are ego-driven, don't think I'm trying to throw flowers on myself, and you don't need to say anything about it. I'm saying it, and that is, it's like, and that's a part of, like, at the end of it, I need to say this so I can push past it, get on with the broadcast this morning. It's like the tears, you know, the tears after. And there are some people online who are listening yesterday, and you know there was a flood there, emotionally speaking. But so much people, you know, alhamdulillah, good-hearted, wonderful people with different takes and understanding on what was going on with me in terms of that, and. I understood and understand how some people, when a man cries, we just, our history, our context, our culture, it's like, it's either, it's,
I'm just telling you, this is the problematic frame. And I haven't been hurt by anybody's sensibility or anything like that. So please don't think I'm saying, well, somebody said something. No. Yeah, somebody said something, but nobody said anything that's untoward or uncomplimentary or whatever. But let me get on with it. And that is, sometimes if a man cries like he lost something, he's thinking about something that's stressful or worrisome, or it's like we only think tears come from a man when he's in pain, because we don't understand a man crying if he ain't hurting. It's like, what you crying? Either you're hurting or you're having a nervous breakdown, or you, that's the frame. That's the frame that we have. You know, how many songs do you know that have lines like, you know, a man ain't supposed to cry, right? No one of them temptation songs, whatever. But that's because we don't know, mashallah. It's like we don't understand how can a man cry and not be hurting? How can a man cry and not be stressed? How can a man cry and not be worried about something? How can a man cry and he's not afraid of something? It's not something that he's fearing. It's one of those things where you have to be there, because it's difficult. If you have never had an experience, I'm just saying as a man, right? And even as a woman, but it's much more so as a man. I had a young man, I won't name the city, and if he hears it, he'll know it, because, you know, I joined him recently, connected consciously recently with him, but I'll leave it alone right there. But he said he hadn't cried for 10 years. This wasn't, you know, the past couple of days, 24 hours or whatever. Young man in the context, I'm going to put him at early 30s, late 20s. I put him like that, you know, whatever, somewhere 25, 31, whatever. Yeah, I don't cry for 10 years. Like this, we were on some other kind of subject. And it was a group of us, right? You know, without elaborating on, you know, what was the significance, what was he saying for and about himself, I'd have to elaborate more on that. But the point is that there are men then that have no problem with not crying for this, for that, even, you know, family members, either a mother or a father or a son or a daughter or a friend or what have you passes away and they don't cry, right? You know, that says something about that. So what I'm saying is that when a man cries, in our context, in our cultural context, it's got to be something wrong. It's got to be something problematic. And I'm here to tell you, on the many occasions, especially mine, and most times that I've cried publicly, and it's not there. Yeah, mashallah, listen, I got to say this, so please forgive me for my little stutter steps right now. I got to say, because I'm not seeking compliments. I'm seeking, or, you know, appreciation, praise, anything. I'm not seeking any. I'm seeking us to understand there's a whole spiritual frame that we have to change. I mean, we have to delve deeply into our own psychology, because when, mashallah, you know, may Allah cover and forgive me for any, because I don't want any riyah, but I am blessed, right? I am, you know, there's no, my statement is not a statement of pride. My statements are a statement of invitation. I'm saying, come on in, the water's fine. I mean, mashallah, I have a long way to go. I have a long way to go. Long way to go. But I'm blessed. Right, and I'm saying it's not a blessing that that's exclusive. I know that there are others who are blessed in the same way, and they're saying, yeah, ma'am, I got you. I'm with males and females. I said, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And my invitation is for more of us need to get into the space of our relationship with God. Listen, there's nobody on earth, there's no living person that does not have shortcomings. I'll use Imam's words. Then I'll give you the world's word for sin, right? There's no person, you know, standing, sitting, laying down, where that does not have sins, shortcomings. So no matter what I say, I am not without sins. I'm not without shortcomings. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he was asked the question, what is sin? And the Prophet replied, whatever you don't want people to find out. Whatever you don't want people to find out. That's it. So do you have some things you don't want people to find out? Okay. If you got some things to be, well, then you have sin. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Our sins, listen to what I'm saying. We're Muslims. Our sins don't offend Allah. They offend our own souls. Be clear about that. You think God's somewhere crying, oh, look what they're doing. Oh, I wish they would stop. No. 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 What we do, our shortcomings hurt us. Okay? So our sins is a form of self-abuse. I'm not just talking about like chemical drugs, alcohol, dude, and the other things that we're I'm saying anything that does not support our forward going on the path that Allah gave us the nature to travel upon. Anything that takes us off that path or slows us down on that path or is an obstacle to the path, that we are the source of it, well, then that's sin against ourselves. That's self-abuse. Right? So, okay, I'm saying all that to get clear because things have to be said because people have to know. You know, I talk a lot from because many of us are closer, quote unquote, to the street, even if you're not from the street. But many of us, in terms of analogy, it's kind of easier to get analogies from the street than from the top of Mount Olympus. Okay, allow me that analogy. So, Reverend Ike, right? Reverend Ike, he said, you know, do you glorify God more on a bicycle or in a Rolls Royce? Which one? If you're trying to say that God blessed me, do you think you're going to impress people more when you get on your bike? Now, I know there's some five-figure bikes out there, so alhamdulillah, but you got to be talking to people who appreciate five-figure bikes, right? I'm talking about the bike costs five figures, right? Yeah, so... yeah, that can be impressive, alhamdulillah, you know. But just straight bicycle and Rolls Royce, okay, you pull up to the block and say, yeah, look what God blessed me with. You on a bicycle, you know, regular 10-speed, right? Look what God blessed me with. Well, it depends on who you're talking to. Again, you know, you got people who have no kind of transportation and block. You got what I'm saying. So what I'm saying, there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for, and Allah knows whether I'm a believer or not, but I'm assuming my own faith right now, okay? That, why you talk like this, man? I'm telling you, I don't want to spoil nothing. I don't want to spoil no blessing that God got for me. And riyah, pride, arrogance, whatever it shows, it can show up in the smallest matter, right? It can be totally unseen. So I have to consciously, I'm doing it for me more than I'm doing it for you. I don't want to lose none of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted. And so in the context of my invitation, I said, you know, come on in. So the idea of the frame that we have for a man crying, it always has to be because he's hurting, or because he's suffering, or because he's doubting, or because he's feeling weak, or because no. There's a place for a man to cry in ecstatic joy. In ecstatic joy, right? It's like to see, because as I talked about yesterday, I said everything went wrong, right? It's like, man, I've been trying to adjust my schedule, the way that I do things, getting ready for Juma, get there early, you know, press your clothes out first, get them out first. You know, get the khutbah lined up, get it printed out, get the broadcast set up, get it, make sure you set the blog talk, you know, now you know you got to transfer this over to your iPad so you can do that. I got all these moving parts, and I've been evolving, working. Okay, we got it, and now I'm trying to get, doing the Facebook Live piece, right, so we got the new stand. Shout out to America's Imam Salahuddin, who gave me that stand. And, you know, so I can't use my iPad. I got to use the iPad for the broadcast. I was using it for notes, so therefore I needed to print. Blah, blah, blah. So all these adjustments, so I made all those adjustments in my pen. So in my thinking, get to the master, not one of them things was working. Zero. Right. Oh, man. So, and then I had gotten a call from a special guest. You know, they're special guests, who was also going to be there and was there in present when I was there in the midst of all this. So it's like, wow. So, but as I said at the beginning, okay, Juma belongs to Allah. So you stop thinking, okay, your plan is gone. It's done. Okay, now go. So the tears, those tears, they came in consciousness, because I noticed it in the last part of the khutbah. It's like, registered. Oh, that is what God's plan was. This is the thing about guidance, right? You really know, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best, but I think, you know, 50 years in the position that I'm in, right? I've been in the position that I'm in. I'm speaking from a position that I've been in for a half a century. So it's not this is not a rookie talking to you. And I know most of you know that. I want you to be clear. So it's like, shouldn't something be going on after 50 years of devotion to something? Shouldn't you see something? You know, and yes, that is okay. So the point is that you only really recognize when you've been guided after you've been guided. You know, it's not like in the midst of the guidance, oh, I'm being guided by Allah. Maybe there is. Maybe in the next 50 years, I'll find that out. But right now, it's when you turn around and look back and you say, oh, that's why that, and that's why that, and that's why that. Oh. So in the midst of the khutbah, and not the midst of it, during the khutbah at the end, okay, that's what Allah intended, right? And so I did. So that came out. So then when you feel the guidance of Allah, when you feel that Allah structured this whole thing, and the things that you thought were problems, stakes, obstacles, difficulties, what have you. If at any one of those points I had allowed frustration and anything other than mashallah to take over, then I don't know what would have happened. But I thank Allah. So when I started making the dua, I'll get to the end and make the dua, then it, you know, just the thing that we're asking Allah for and you think about how present Allah is in everything and at all times, and you think about having been favored in such a way that God is, quote unquote, as a young man when he embraced me at the end, because basically I was really trying to go the other way before all was said and done. But you know, there were a few people that I greeted on my way out of Juma, and one and during the embrace, he said, "Well, I see you. See, God is in your business." He said, "See, God is in your business." I said, "Yeah, he all up in my business, man." And so that it's in that moment, and then so knowing about the things that I know that I don't want people to find out. Now I say that and everybody tripping, so don't think I ain't on Cat Williams' list or whatever. but the point is, you also, I can say that about any human being. Everybody got something that they don't want people to find out. And yes, mashallah, aka Sabri, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, that is a critical verse that always, I say this, that Allah is the one who gives laughter and tears. Most often I have to remind people who have suffered loss, who have suffered loss, and sometimes people want to stop crying about a loss. Now this is the other side of it. Some people they want to stop crying about a loss. I said, listen, in your body is a pharmacy. In your body is a pharmacy. The hormones, the neurochemicals, the neurotransmitters, et cetera, these are all chemical resources that are in our body. When we get back to the woman, as it relates to her pregnancy and labor and delivery, there's a whole lot of chemical hormones, neurotransmitters, neurochemicals that are involved in that process, all of which have a message for us in our life. We're going to get back to it. And this is because there's a pharmacy in our body. And under certain circumstances, Allah releases. He's designed the form to release certain chemicals to create or to produce certain states of mind, right? That's what Allah does. Right? And that's his design. It's a pharmacy, and Allah is the doctor. And so sometimes you need to cry. Sometimes you need to laugh, right? Yes, there you can go to extremes, and either one in extreme is toxic, right? There's a hadith of the Prophet that too much laughter makes you a fool. Think about that. Too much laughter makes you a fool. And it's very important to understand, since I'm there, laughter is also a medicine, right? It's that people say sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying, right? And when you think about Belalians, right, one of the things that has gotten us through is our comedy, right? We're able to find the humor in situations. But again, when that's taken to an extreme, we have people who are geniuses at making us laugh, but geniuses at making us laugh at what? There's one brother, his whole thing is about felonies, right? It's like, whatever he talk about, he's talking about felonies, crimes, and criminal life, et cetera. It's something about the formula of it or our proximity to it. It'd be funny, excuse my ebonics, right? You know, but we're laughing at something that, you know, it's like, nah, in the real scheme of things, that's not funny. That shouldn't be funny. It's like, okay, we've been preconditioned in a way where, but it is funny, right? Okay, well, then that's the problem with your preconditioning, right? So you don't need to front. I don't want to stay there too long, but innocence and fronting, getting all holier than thou and acting like, you know, that ain't funny. But there's some stuff that's funny, even though it's vulgar. It's funny, you know. But you say, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." You know, that's where that is. But in righteousness. In righteousness, Allah has designed us such that when we suffer loss, yeah, we'll cry. But what's going on? For every emotion, there's a chemical. For every emotion, there's a chemical. Third time. For every emotion, there's a chemical, right? So we're feeling certain kind of emotions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a chemical that goes with that emotion. And the role that that chemical is playing in our life is to make us feel better. And there's laughter. You can laugh to tears, right? And then in terms of the tears themselves, there can be tears of joy. There can be tears of pain. But there's a chemical release that goes with that. And so when people who are suffering something, they cry. You know, inshallah, if they're sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are honoring Allah's telling them, you know, don't go to extremes in that. Because if you go to an extreme in mourning the loss of someone, then there's a certain measure in that is saying, I don't trust God. I think God did the wrong thing. I think it was unfair of God to do this. You got to be careful, because you have to be able to watch yourself on the inside to be able to make sure that that's not what's creeping into your heart. Because Shaitan will use that, just like with our father Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. He made one statement. He said, would that this could last forever. And Shaitan heard that. You know, long story about how to get an earshot of Adam, blah, 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 after he'd been kicked out, all that. Long story. But the point is that's all Shaitan had to hear. Oh. Because Shaitan interprets from your statement of the absence, he sees in that a desire in you. He says, oh, you talk about wood that this guy, you're supposed to be appreciating this paradise that you're in. I mean, your statement is a statement of appreciation of this paradise. But that's not what Shaitan hears. What Shaitan hears is, oh, there's something else that he wants. Here it is right now. He got the paradise, and now he's asking, "What? I wish this could last forever." So Shaitan gets into the mind of that, the logic of that, and says that, oh, there's a desire that is unfulfilled in him. Okay, so let me creep up on him and tell him, you want me to show you a kingdom that will last forever? That's what Shaitan said after Adam came forward with that this could last forever. Okay, so I'm saying, and the stripping of taqwa is tied to what I'm saying, is that so our taqwa is one where we have to watch ourselves on the inside. That's what I'm saying. All the early stutter stuff that, look, I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, I'm not throwing flowers on myself. Look, man, I'm trying to protect all mine, right? It's like I can't lose a drop of Allah's blessing. I don't want to lose a bit of it. And what the main one that would cause us to lose Allah's blessing is us. It's your own self, right? So that's why I take these cautionary comments. No matter how long it takes me to get to the point, I ain't messing my stuff up, okay? So the idea here then is that somebody cries because of a loss. Maybe it is if they're sincere to Allah in taqwa. They're aware of these limitations and boundaries, right? If you're crying, then I say you need that. You need to cry. You need to cry. Cry. So when you cry, what's happening is for every emotion, there's a chemical, right? That's Allah's pharmacy in you that's administering the medicine for your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit. That's what you need. They all. The rest of these doctors, they don't know nothing about all this internal stuff. And no, unless that psychologist, psychiatrist, a counselor or whatever, unless they're grounded in solid knowledge of Quran and Islam and the life of the Prophet, they don't know either. Okay. Stay with whoever is helping you. If somebody's helping you, alhamdulillah, good. So no, I'm not giving you any advice about what you should do with the professionals that are helping whoever's online that's in that situation. So I don't need you. You don't know nothing about the Quran. Please, don't put that on me. You need to stay with whoever's helping you. But that being said, Allah is also provide his ashifa, right? And the medicine is already in our body. The pharmacy is already in our body. Sometimes we need to laugh. Laughter has its role in releasing tension and et cetera, and stress and all that. But again, that has to be done within, you know, taqwa, discipline limits, right? Tears, I'm saying. All right, so all that speaks to my invitation to us to, or for us to just know that Allah will guide you and bless you. Allah is in charge of everything, and sometimes things that you think things are going wrong, when in fact with God is exactly how He planned it. It's exactly how He planned it. So you don't know, and you don't try to create plans for God. You know, I want to get in this situation. I want to make sure God can give me this, give me that. It don't work like that. Allah is going to do what He's going to do, right? What we have to do is always be conscious of what our responsibility is and fulfill it to the best of our ability, right? We have to seek to govern ourselves as best we can on the inside, you know, do all the fundamental things to as best we can that Allah has given us. Because when you do that, you hear that in sports, you know, baseball, basketball, football, you know, it's like fundamentals. You got to get the fundamentals. Even when, you know, trainers, physical trainers, they tell you got to keep your core. You know, you have to have a strong core, right? It's like, you know, those are the things. Everything else is an elaboration on that. Everything else depends on that. You got to get your fundamentals straight. And so for as far as Al-Islam is concerned, I think of Hadith Qudusi, where it says that nothing does Allah love more than that the believer does what they're obligated to do. Then they go beyond that to do the supererogatory, and they become so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah becomes the eye with which He sees, the ear with which He hears, the feet upon which He walks, the hand with which He strikes, you know, and were He to ask Him of anything, I'll give it to Him. And He says, there's nothing that He said, my believer hates death and I hate hurting him, right? So the idea is but the obligatory is the fundamentals. The obligatory is the core. The obligatory is knowing how to kick and throw in the basics, right? It's like, okay, same way with Al-Islam. You don't have the basics in line, right, then the thing that's supposed to be built on top of it is not going to happen. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, and God in Hadith Qudsi, speaking in the first person, he said, this is what I will do. You do that, I'll do this. And the way you increase your faith is by obeying. That's it. You want more faith? Obey. What do you got to do? Do more of what you're not doing that you know you're supposed to be doing. That's it. I'll use credit scores, right? It's like so many years ago, you know, very kind of close to the beginning of the Wealth Creation Preservation on Monday broadcast. It's like, you know, I had certain things in place, and to the extent that I wasn't concerned about credit scores. But then when with my turnaround and thinking about it, no, you got to get your credit scores up if you're going to make move X, Y, or Z. So you have to start doing those things. I had to start doing those things to up the credit score, right? And there's some things that you have to do, and I'm not trying to tell that right now. Some of you know that if your credit scores are not where they need to be, then you got to go to work on that. Just like me working on my bulbous body in that sense. Okay, you got to do what you got to do. You got to. It ain't going to happen tomorrow, but you got to be doing something. You need to lock in to doing something that's designed to take you that way, and it has to become a habit, a change of mind, a change of, you know, focus or what have you. That's it. And that's with everything. I don't care. You could be reading Quran, memorizing Quran, studying the language of the Imam. It could be anything. Improving your relationship with your husband, your wife, etc. You just got to start working on it. It's just you got to start somewhere. It ain't going to change. In fact, I spoke to someone, I can't remember whoever it was, but the gist of the conversation was that if nothing changes, nothing changes. Make a note of that. If nothing changes, nothing changes. You look in the mirror, you don't like what you see, okay, something's got to change. Okay, but if nothing changes, nothing changes. So it's like more and more we have to recognize that, you know, stop looking at in front of you, behind you, before you, you know, what have you. No, you have to look in the mirror and say, I got to change. I got to change. I got to change this, and it's not going to change until I change it. That's it. That's life. There's no mystery in terms of that. Okay. So I know, of course, obviously this is a different kind of beginning, but I'm going to move over and invite you. I know I said a lot, and I know I opened a lot of dangerous territory, but all the same rules still apply. All right? We do that, and we're good to go. Belmarg, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalamu rahman to Allah wa barakatuh. You, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and your very astute radio listening audience, Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis, Shawnee State of Missouri. Want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost always. And when you was speaking, I was doing empathic listening and understanding and feeling where you come from. I had a similar moment about 2 weeks ago. It wasn't with the audience. It was with my son. I won't go into that. But I do understand, and I do want to say to radio listening audience, the Ayat Surah 53:43 of the Quran, very short, instructing Ayat. And I studied that years ago. And I saw that Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim in there, that Allah is the most merciful benefactor. We benefit from what he gave to us in those two means of expression. Just think, if we didn't have means of expression in terms of that, we'd be bottled up with those things and not be able to express them, laughter and tears. And also, when you were speaking, I was also thinking about this, what water is, as the Imam had given to us. It can be the spirituality, the morality, the emotionality, but the sensitivity that oftentimes that water will come from us in that regard. And that's a blessing, too, that Allah has given to us. So just reflect on the Quran. And actually what you were saying, what Allah blessed me to see coincides with the way that you open up with Prophet Ibrahim in terms of the one that has created me will guide me. So this is Allah's creation, and he guides us. Even in the natural creation, in the fitra, the water, the sensitivity that it is that we're supposed to have. And in that ayah 25:54, he tells us that before he says, and then he established relationship. So water is very important because you have the spirituality, the morality, the emotionality, and the sensitivity first. So Allah established that. He said he created the human being from water. Okay, so it's good. You can look at it on a physical level. But if you take it higher in regards to that, that's a prerequisite. He established the relationship of lineage and marriage, and that Allah has power or influence over all things. I just wanted to say that in the beginning. My 3 minutes probably is up, but I've been kind of trying to multitask, and I'm not good at it. A lot of men are not good at multitasking and everything going back between your broadcast and the school here. But I just wanted to how important the things that you said in the khutbah, and it was by Allah's leave. You did an excellent job despite all the things that was happening and all that you wanted to make happen. I just want to leave the audience with this, as Imam Muhammad tweaked this was when we used to always say, man plans and God plans, and God's the best of planners. Imam Muhammad tweaked it for us. He says, no, he said man plans, but Allah has already planned, and he's the best of planners. So if we keep that in mind, that's why Allah says, never say what you will do tomorrow without saying inshallah. And we just hope and pray that whatever the plan that we have coincides with the plan that God has for us, then we can say, mashallah. I'll stop there. 3 minutes is up. As-salamu alaykum. Appreciate you, my brother.
I appreciate you, my brother. Alhamdulillah, we appreciate it very, very much. Good wisdom as always. You have no bunk. I know you ain't never, I know you have never bought marijuana in your life, but back in the day when I was on the block, we had these little matchboxes, right? And you get something from somebody, you say, man, don't mess with Joe, man. He's selling that bunk, man. You don't never come with no bunk, man. So it's good. I take it.
And you know what? I just want to say, not we don't have confessions per se, but I thank Allah that I never have smoked marijuana. I know how it smells, but I never have smoked. I never had a desire. I thank Allah for not, you know, even wanting to experience it. But just I think that somebody else said, you know, you try to be cool with your partners, your peers, and, you know, cigarette. I took one puff, and they knew that I wasn't going to be with them because I choked on it. And I said, thank you, Allah. In retrospect, I didn't need that anyway. So I didn't know how to inhale and exhale. So you please laugh at that because I choked on it. And that was a sign. Yeah. I wasn't even a Muslim then.
That's why I'm comfortable saying stuff like that, because I know it's like, man, the people that are hearing us, and even the people who haven't heard it, they need to hear it. Says, look, we come from a space and a place and a time and a situation to where we are now that was it's like a tar pit for so many other people. We are blessed just being outside of that whole the consequence, because we all have friends doing life in prison. They're dead. They've lost their minds and limbs and lives, you know, in the world that we had to pass through, right?
That's right.
But for the grace of God, there go I, right? So it's like we live to tell the tale. We live to tell the tale. And sometimes people haven't had those experiences. And so in so many ways, then you don't really appreciate how much elevation is actually happening in the person until you really see where they came from. When you see where they came from, wow, they came from there to there. and nothing but the grace of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. That's right. And that's the guidance that, you know, we really want to have in our life. And so Allah leads us sometimes to stray before we can find our way, you know.
Right.
So the guidance is that those experiences, I always said the word learning, an acronym for that, is life experiences are really necessary in new growth. Life experiences are really necessary in new growth or nurturing growth in the human being.
Right.
So we can look back on those life experiences that we had. Did you get the lesson? And the word lesson is two words. It's less on you. If you don't get the lesson, that means you have to repeat it again and again, see? And don't mistake anything from that. So, I, you know, but this is good, Brother Imam, and I appreciate you sharing. This is the way we used to teach even our children, our grandparents and all. They didn't have the education, quote, unquote, that we may have gotten, but they often would share their experiences with us, and we could learn lessons from just their experiences alone. Thank you so much. Appreciate
you. Thank you.
Continue the great work, Brother Man. We're going to get you back on IWDM pretty soon, inshallah.
All right. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum. Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Let me just put a little more on the plate for the subject matter from yes. There's some things I'm saying. So we just go ahead and finish our time here together. Top of the hour, we'll be done. I will, you know, anyone else who has any comments on Blog Talk, I'll keep my eye on the studio if there's a comment that you'd like to make. Then I'll keep my eye open for anyone. Just push one, and you can come on through if that's your desire. but I want to add some information, because a large part of my intention yesterday is to get us to frame the subject matter right. And my intention, this is a part of the, these are part of the notes that didn't make it to Juma yesterday, mashallah, it's fitting for today, inshallah. This note from Iqbal. Alhamdulillah, Imam Muhammad rahimahullah introduced me to Iqbal whenever. So this is from a paper that's done by Dr. Israr Ahmed. And it's entitled Iqbal and the Reconstruction of Islamic Thought. So this is a quote from that paper. Quote, according to Iqbal, the first stage in the process of an Islamic revolution is a purely educational one, to inculcate the teachings and the message of the Holy Quran in the minds of the audience so that a profound metamorphosis means change, like a butterfly going from a caterpillar to a butterfly, a profound metamorphosis occurs in the way people think and feel. Those are sensitivities, right? The way people think and feel in their goals and objectives and in their values and priorities in life. People must change from within. I'm interjecting now. God will never change the grace of a people until they change what is in this, what is inside of their own selves, right? The Imam sometimes says they change what is hurting them, right? People must change from within before they can change the world. It is this internal and psychological revolution in the personalities of individual human beings that is absolutely essential. That is the absolutely essential prerequisite for any meaningful and stable change in the political socio-economic system. This transformation of the individuals will then cause them to unite as a force, which will become the starting point for a global revolution. It must be noted that in the revolutionary struggle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only instrument that was employed for exhortation, that is calling the people, exhortation, admonition, warning the people, purification, purifying the soul, and reformation, was nothing but the Holy Quran, end quote. Very, very, very important. We could spend a lot of time just walking through that, but I'm just going to go ahead and limit myself to just deal with that statement just as a block, right? As what is this statement? What is this statement saying? It's saying, what is this statement saying? It's saying it all. You want to revolutionize the world, huh? You want to remake the world? It starts with getting the Quran in you. Not just for recitation. We're going to talk about reading in just a minute. If you want to get ahead of me, then look at this. Look at these little notes that come before this. I mean, you want to get ahead, take a look at that, and then we're going to cover that in a minute. Okay, so it starts with the Quran. So that's it. So you got to ask yourself, how much energy, time, effort am I putting into getting the Quran into me, right? And alhamdulillah, memorization, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Sure, absolutely, absolutely. But it's one thing to just memorize sounds. If you're just memorizing sounds, your nature is going to benefit by it. No, there's no question about it. I don't care. You say Al-Fatiha and you break it up and say it, you know, misspoken with the this here and that there kind of, you know, makhraj, right? Alhamdulillah. Your soul is still benefiting. There's no question about it. But it's not benefiting as much as it would when we perfect our saying it and our knowing and understanding. And it's just the beginning. Just at least know the definition of the word, because this is also a part of, mashallah, mashallah, yesterday, going back to yesterday and the dua, right? Yesterday, for me, in that moment, it's like I also realized one of the things was God saying, okay, you're not going to be intellectual today. You're not going to be academic today. You're not going to be scientific today. You're not going to be as intellectual today. Today is going to be an emotional day. Today is going to be a reaching into the heart, the soul, in what's saying. This is what your mission is today. And so in the dua, I'm reciting the du'a and not translating it. I'm reciting the du'a and not translating. But at the same time that I'm reciting the du'a, I'm thinking about what the du'a is actually saying. What the du'a is actually saying. I mean, what the words actually mean. And that also has or had the profound effect on me, on my own soul, heart, mind, spirit, etc. Okay, I see. This is why prayer is education. Prayer is education. Salah is education. Just think about it. You see how Allah has obligated the believer to the real way that Salah is supposed to be done, is supposed to be done in congregation. That the obligatory prayer is supposed to be done, or they are to be done in congregation. And So, and when the congregation knows the words of the prayer, just imagine we come to prayer. It wouldn't be as powerful, but just go ahead and take my example. And if everybody was able to say the prayer in their native tongue, right? He said, you have a Quran, you know, Quranic Arabic, but then the Russians, they say El Fatiha, but they say it in Russian, right? They say Surah 112, whatever, but they say it in Russian, right? Yeah, it's going to be impactful in that sense, but not as impactful, obviously, as the Quran, because the Quran has its harmonic, its sound effect, and the like. With that's what the makhraj and the tajweed, tartil, etc. It's all a part of the vibratory, energetic impact that Allah intends to have on the soul and body of the people. I mean, it's just wow. It's like, imagine people standing shoulder to shoulder, you know, foot to foot. Some say yes, some say no, doesn't matter. But you're supposed to shoulder to shoulder for sure. So he said the believers stand together like a solid cemented structure. So here we are. We're one unit, and you have the vibratory sound and meanings and message that's in what the head of that body is saying, and it's vibrating through and it's resonating with all of the members of that body and their interconnection there. What kind of powerful thing is going on in the physics and the metaphysics of that situation in the five daily prayers? And I'm only focusing on one thing, the educational aspect of it. That is to say, if we understand the words that are being said when we're standing there in prayer, especially in the audible prayers, but even in the inaudible prayers, you can, in your own mind, you know, be saying whatever your prayers are, because it's not something that somebody hearing outside of your head. But at the same time, you're saying it and you're knowing it, and you're being educated yourself by yourself while you're in that congregational prayer. But to speak of the audible prayers, what if you knew the words and what the words that are being said, what they mean? This was the life of the first community of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are hearing these new words from Allah in these new arrangements right there in their lifetime, when they knew and they understood those words, powerful impact on them psychologically, physiologically, sociologically, and all the other things, the political, economic, go alongside of all that. Because every prayer is a class. Every prayer is education. When you know what's being said. So in the dua, you know, it came through. It's like this is education, so it has this impact. So all right. So as what Brother Mark, for example, he just talked about, you know, everything is created from water. It's Quran, right? Quran, all life is created from water, right? So as he said, if water is a starting point, okay? But you can think about it physically, you can think about it literally, but you have to go beyond the physical, you have to go beyond the literal and get to, and this is how Imam Muhammad has taught his students. He said, you don't limit yourself to the literal or the physical. You don't limit yourself to that. You seek to get the abstract. You seek to get the meaning that is holding as a sign, as a symbol, as a word, right? That's critical. So, okay, so when we talk about, it starts with the Quran, but it doesn't stop with the sound of the Quranic words. And it doesn't stop with the definition that you may find in a dictionary, right? But please listen to you understand how it is, because there are people who want to make excuses. Yeah, well, I don't need to learn the Arabic because it don't stop at the Arabic. No, stop it. You have to go through the Arabic to get to the Quran. You have to go through the Arabic, the Quranic Arabic, to get to the Quran, right? I've heard it said that there's the Quran and there's the Kitab, right? The Kitab is literally the book, right? And so that's the book. The Quran is in the Kitab, right? Allah said he revealed the Quran in Arabic. He revealed the Quran in Arabic. So the Quran is in the Arabic. So you want to get to the Quran, you got to go through the Arabic. You know, when I say Arabic, I'm talking about Lughat al-Fusha Arabiya of the Quran, the original, right? So yeah, you have to learn how to read that. You have to learn how to read Alif, Ba, Ta, Fa, Jim, Ha, Kha, Dal, Ba. We're seeing those letters in all of their different placements in terms of that. You've got to do that. Okay. Why? Because that's the door. That's the door. So you got to walk through that door so you can look inside and see what's behind it and get that. Okay. But even after you do that, you're still not finished. You have to, yeah, and that includes grammar and that. Got to learn that too. And again, the demand of these sciences, the demand of these sciences, Allahu A'lam, when you find those people who have demonstrably shown that they have a mastery of all these fundamental, I call them fundamental, but they are sciences. If you find someone who's got all those things, they got the memorization, they got the makhraj, they got the writing, they got the historic touch with the words, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, beautiful, praise be to Allah, wonderful, they are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are useful to humanity as a preservation. Your Hafiz al-Quran, huh? As a preservation of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. One of the things that I once saw a chart of all the sciences, or what was displayed as all the times when we were in Malaysia. It's like just imagine one of the big world maps that you once saw in high school, college, or what have you. It's like, this is the world map, right? Well, these represented all of the sciences of Islam and interconnected, and they were interconnected. And I saw all that, and I said, mashallah, alhamdulillah, it is not possible for any human being in one lifetime to have mastered all of these sciences. So no matter who knows how much, whatever and how well they know it, they don't know all of it. They don't know all of it. And so, but be careful if someone likes to portray themselves as though, and you can be led to believe that, or led to feel or perceive that. Well, yeah, there's some people can be led to believe that. That the, yeah, I know Sheikh so-and-so, or Adam so-and-so, he mastered all the Islamic sciences. Okay. I don't believe it. That's just me. Because to really know it, it's like, it's not for one person. I don't believe it is, and I think by Allah's design, he doesn't intend for any one person to know it all. I think he obligates all of us to be in a situation where it requires shura. This one knows that, and that one knows this, and this one knows that. Okay, now you all cooperate. And when you cooperate with each other, now you have a greater whole. Because nobody has been given everything. All right. So let's wind it back to the idea of learning how to read, right? Here's this little schema right here. Just I'm trying to simplify it so we can understand what must be done. One is, I'm talking about regular education in this first line. In regular education, we learn to read, right? In institutional instruction, you're learning to read from kindergarten to the third grade, right? So you learn to read. And then from the fourth grade on, you read to learn. You spend, I'm just talking about the process of reading, right? You learn to read, and then you read to learn, right? All right, so let's fast forward to such that you learn until you get a PhD in civil engineering, example, right? You get a PhD in civil engineering. It all started with learning to read and reading to learn, and then culminated in a PhD in civil engineering. You're still not finished. You got the PhD in civil engineering. Now you have to build a bridge, just as an example, of the things that can be done with what you've learned, right? Now you have to build a bridge. And there's a whole other set of knowledge that you have to engage in order to accomplish that. But that's what your terminal degree, et cetera, in this case, civil engineering, that's what it's for, is to be able to build bridges. I'm talking about literal bridges, right? All right, so what that means is you learn to read to learn, you master something, and then you do that thing that you've mastered. The whole world is made up of these accomplishments, right? Keep it simple, doctor, lawyer, engine chief, right? You know, chief cook and bottle washer, whatever. The point is that everybody gets to a level where you're a beginner, then you're intermediate, then you master, and then you deliver what that mastery is designed to deliver. Okay. Putting this in the context of building ummah, because for me, and unless somebody can tell me something different, just let me know if I'm missing it, but I don't think I am. I think the order from God is build ummah. I believe the order from God to the end of time is build ummah. All right? Okay. That's the mission. So build ummah equates to, in my analogy, building a bridge. Okay, you learn, and then build a bridge. Right? Okay, learn, then build ummah. If we're not building ummah, what are you? And alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, I'm thinking about many successes in our community, both young and quote unquote old, in the way we say it, you know. And they're beautiful, wonderful, successful elements that I think that each of us could probably you know, just think about it. Just you hold your hand up and name for yourself five things or people or communities that are excellent models for whatever. You choose the five things that they're modeling, right? Now, I think we all can find five, and I'm thinking specifically in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, I think we can all find either five individuals or five communities or five achievements that reflect most positively and are most demonstrable of the potential, demonstrative of what and how Imam Muhammad empowered individuals and communities. And so we got that, right? But I still want to stay with the theme and thesis of, but don't stop there. We have to applaud, we have to appreciate, we have to show gratitude for all those accomplishments that you may have enumerated. But none of them is the end. None of them is the end. I don't care how great it is, how great they are, how wonderful it is, how outstanding they are, how much of an outlier that achievement is. Fine. Alhamdulillah, I'm not diminishing it at all. But I'm saying we have to make sure that we preserve our energy and focus and make sure that while we appreciate, applaud, and value and support and show gratitude for all of the successes and achievements that are in this line that we're in, that we're not finished. We're not finished. We're not finished. We can get so satisfied with an achievement and so thrilled about it, as we should be, but not to the extent that what you have is called post-praise pause. Post-praise pause. Sometimes too much applause and too much praise causes the one applauded and praised to slow down, sit down, you know, what have you, not persevere. Fa'iza faragta fansab, the verse, the surah that we're working on. When you're free from your immediate task, still abroad. Okay. While the woman, subject-wise for right now and what I've been doing, the woman is just the woman is a prime factor, but I still want to say she's just understanding her as a phenomena, let's call it, is just one major master principal factor in the building of Ummah. It's just she's just one, and everything that we're talking about doing for the woman, of course, you have to do that same thing for the man. But at the same time, let's understand. So now, how does this relate to the Quran and the Quran being first? Well, in order to accomplish what we have to accomplish, building Ummah, we need to master, and we need to understand, and we need to know, and we need to have the science of the first bricks. I put it that way. The first bricks, right? And the first bricks of man and woman. The first bricks of Ummah is man and woman, right? And so while we're just talking about woman, the same, again, as I've said, has to have my women. So let's go back. Let's go to the formula, and I want us to understand the things that are involved. And again, a part of my prime objective is to invite more patience with the length of the subject. That's a part of what I'm asking. It's like, you got to be patient. Yeah, you got to be patient because what we need to know is right in front of us, but we have to have the patience to unpack it using the tools that the Imam has given us. Now we're talking about reading at the beyond the water level, as you use what Mark had mentioned earlier. It's like, yes, they're all life's created from water. Okay, yeah. So that means that primarily we have to get to water first, right? But then when you come to water, what are you talking about in terms of water? How does that translate? And what is the behavior that goes with it? So let me walk through this and cover it a little bit more. Okay, so the first thing I have to do is learn to read. I'm beyond high school, college, da, 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 da. I'm talking about to a Muslim. So the first thing you have to do, just like in the first order of that little formula, learn to read. So what does it mean, learn to read? You got to learn to read. Literally, you got to learn how to read. Quran, I'm talking about. And you have to learn technically how to read the Quran. You got to learn how to read the Quran. When I say you, it's we, us. You know, we, all right? Literally and technically, we have to learn how to read the Quran. That's it. You have to be doing something. We have to be doing something that is increasing our knowledge, literally and technically, of the Quran, right? Now, but again, you don't stop with just the literal and the technical, because you have to get to a situation where you can put the Quran to work, right? And it's not just the Quran that you have to learn how to read literally and technically. You have to learn how to read the creation literally and technically. You have to learn how to read the creation. So that means it's kind of a default setting, if you really understand being a Muslim, according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and directed us, you have to be a scientist by default. The Muslim, in the sense of it, we're scientists by default, because Allah tells us to observe the creation and learn from the creation. That's an invitation to be a scientist, period. Not supposed to just sit there and you know, twiddle your thumbs or whatever. No, it's like, what is the creation saying to me? What is the message? Be taught by the creation, right? So that's reading, though. That's reading. So you have to learn literally and technically how to read the Quran, literally and technically how to read the creation. And so then this introduces, this is where, if you understand, Imam Muhammad, when he says scriptural supported social logic, so in this case I put Quran. Know this, when the Imam says scripture, one of its meanings is not just talking about Bible or Quran. He's also talking about sacred writings, right, which includes mythology and other things like that that have earned a high place in the world of knowledge. They're written down, too, some of them. They're written down. They're scripts, right? So scriptural, meaning that it's written. Alphabetic literacy. Alphabetic literacy is writing, right? And so people put things down in script. So the point is sacred scripture. Just take it like that. Creation. So learning how to read. This is the base. This is that first block right here. The base is learn how to read the Quran, literally and technically. Then you have to learn how to abstract from the Quran that you read, literally and technically. You have to learn how to bring out of it scriptural supported social logic. That's the SSL. You have to, okay, what's the logic that comes from what I read, literally and technically? I read it literally. I read it technically. That's not the end of the reading. That's not the full benefit and objective of the reading, just to know it literally and technically. The object of the reading is to build ummah, right? So that's the outer end of all that, right? So you have to learn how to do Quran-supported social logic, right? I'll leave it like that, Quran-supported social logic. So you read the Quran, you have to be able to abstract from it the social logic, right? Then the same way with creation. You have to look at the creation. You have to know how to read the creation. What is the creation saying? What are the birds saying? What is the river saying? What is the tree saying? You know, all of it. All of it has information. The universe is an information system. You have the Lord of the systems of knowledge, right? Rabbil Alameen. Okay, all these systems have knowledge. That's another reason why the Muslim, every time we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the systems of knowledge, it's like, that should tell us also, we're supposed to be scientists. I mean, stupid Muslim got to be an oxymoron, right? It's got to be. Stupid Muslim. What? No such thing. No. It's that, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, praise to Allah, the Lord of the systems of knowledge. Okay. So, yeah, just like you read the Quran and you read scripture, you read the creation, and you abstract from it, and this again is particularly our grace from Allah through and vis-a-vis Imam Muhammad, rahim al-alayh. He has taught us to read the creation and abstract from it the social logic, extract from it creation-supported social logic. All right, we're going to go a few minutes, though. I'm just going to finish this highlighted portion, so we'll be a few minutes over today. Okay, but that's first level reading. This right is when you do this. Let me see if I can color code this in the same way. Okay. When you do that, then that means you've done that. So that's level one. Level one is learn to read literally, technically, and then abstract Quran supported social logic, creation supported social logic. Okay, that's level one. All right, that's learn to read. All right, now next thing is read to learn. This read to learn comes here. Let me change the color scheme on this. Okay, so read to learn is here. All right, so you got this knowledge, right, from reading, right? All right, so you learn how to read, so you know how to literally and technically read the Quran, and you know how to abstract from it the Quran-supported social logic. You know how to read the creation, and you're able to abstract from the creation-supported social logic. So that means that everything you look at is a source of information, and you know how to get the information from it, right? So now you take that ability, and you go around, and now you're going to specialize, right? You're going to read to learn. I mean, you're looking for domain-specific knowledge. I've got to, you know, get to this, you know, college secular language, if you will. The point is this, 2:148. 2:148, that's the verse that tells us that everyone has been created with a gift. I'm giving you meaning, right? Everyone has been created with a gift, right? To each is the goal to which he's turning, so strive is in a race to all that is good. A reading of that is God has gifted everyone with something unique to them. Question becomes, do you know what that is in you? Do you know what that is in you? So you should already be past thinking that God created you empty, that God brought you into this world empty. No. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا. That's what the KSQH is. No. Allah has put a gift in you, for you, and Allah does not run out of gifts. This is not locker room, you know, hype talk. This is God's work in you, and that's the thievery, that's the heinous thing that's been done to us. I'll just say us, just been so preconditioned to absolutely doubt that there's anything of worth from God himself in us. That's the big robbery. That's the robbery. That's what we've been deprived. But I'm not going to stay there. Pretty soon the whole month is coming up, and that's what the conversation is going to be about, mashallah. We talk about it right now. The idea is, what is your gift? Allah has gifted you with something in your nature. You're walking around with it. You've been walking around with it from the time you were born as a potential, right? Okay, so whatever that is, first you got to, once you accept that, then you're trying to master what that is. You need to find that gift. How that gift is related to the Quran. How that gift is meaning whatever it is. What does the Quran have to say about it? If you don't know what it is, that's what you should be looking for, right? And so that's bottom line. So there's a certain class of knowledge that you should be looking for. And in order to know that, again, Imam Muhammad, I hope you appreciate it. This key, creation-supported social logic, Quran-supported social logic, that's one of the keys from Imam Muhammad that goes a very, very long way, okay? It's like a screwdriver or a hammer. It's like very, very useful. The job you have to do, you know, that having those two, they're there. Okay, same way, خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا, right, Surah 87, the beginning. The Imam said, when you know these four things about anything, then you know everything about that thing. Okay, so what is the domain-specific knowledge that relates to your God-given potential that you need to master at the level of خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا? What is its form? What is that gift? Whatever, I don't know, whatever that gift is, because you got one, right? Whatever that gift is, what is the form? What is the form of that gift? What is the place of that gift within the system? And what is the potential? How do you evolve that gift from simple to complex? And then what does that gift have to do with the guidance of God? That is, God didn't give you a gift that doesn't relate to your contribution to the building of Ummah. Once you understand that, it's that you have to find, okay, I'm a brick in the building of Ummah. Okay, where do I belong? You're a brick in the building. where do I belong? Well, you have to discover what God has put in you, and you have to master it in the sense of all you're doing is you're just studying it. What is this? Khalq, sawa, qadra, hada, whatever it is. All right. Then now once you know what that is, you go to the top of whatever that is. You go, I don't care. I mean, you're an athlete, you're a teacher, you're a mother, you're a father. It's like, because the skill sets, Allah, the gifts that are needed for Ummah are as universal as the nature of life. So we need people that do those tasks that are not as honored in this society as they should be, as for the level of significance that they hold for our lives. There's so many things in the world. I won't mention any of them because I don't want any impression to think that they're demeaning. But there's some things that, some tasks, some jobs, some things that people do for a living and they are pleased to do that are not valued as highly as they should be valued in the society, which if those people did not do those things, we would be really, really messed up. Because we won't do them, as an example, but it has to be done by someone. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find us and give someone the gift to where they find it blissful to do that thing that we won't do ourselves, but it's necessary for an ummah, you got to thank Allah for it. You may be that kind of person, right? But whatever it is, you strive to perfect it. Once you find out what it is, you strive to perfect your gift. That's the PhD. The PhD, in my analogy, is, okay, go to the top of whatever, what's the apex of the system that your skill set is in. Remember, khalaqa sawa, what is it, and where's its place within the system, right? And once you understand its place within the system, when you first step in there, you're not stepping in on the top. You don't step in on the top. But you understand, well, that's the next thing you have to understand. In the qadra, you know, okay, I just stepped in. I know my place within the system. I accept that place within the system, but I'm not at the apex of this domain that I'm in. I'm not at the apex of it, but I'm started, right? Whatever. I'm a rookie. I'm a freshman or whatever it is. It's like, okay, now I know that the qadra is evolving from my four granddaughters are here and grandma is doing what grandma do. All right, moving right along. So in terms of the system, I know my place in the system. I just stepped into the system. I'm not at the top of the system, but I do understand that there is a movement, qadara, there is a movement from simple to complex inside of this system. Listen, you said, shout out to my brother, my nephew, I'm calling Imam Tariq Naji Allah. He just, I'm using him as an example. He's having a five-day set. Check in with him. However you need to do. It has to do with patent. It's a patent challenge. If anybody know that, you can put it in the chat if you're hearing it. But the point is that this is his area. He works in patents, and so now he's doing training and challenges for people who want to. I think one of the lines in the announcement is protect anything from anyone, right? So we got this whole intellectual property thing. I think that's what the IP stands for, the intellectual properties, right? So this just as an example that he has been working in that area. He's inside of that system. He knows that system from top to bottom, right? And so, but he didn't start where he is right now. He got into the system, and it's a part of his orientation, his gift, and it's a demonstration of his gift that he got it to the level where he's ready to share and broadcast. And when you broadcast to the world, you say, I'm ready for whoever, you know, come on, whoever, right? So that's an example of someone who inside of a system and who knows how to move from the simple to the complex in the system, qaddara, right? And so that's what we all have to do with whatever it is. And so now that's the BLISS, right? The BLISS, it's an acronym that I use to follow this pattern that we're talking about. B is believe. You first have to believe. Everything I'm saying about what God has done in you, it's like you got to believe it. If you don't believe it, it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's like, no, ain't nothing in me. No, I ain't got no gift. No, and don't even trip on thinking about, well, that's too late for me. What do you mean? Here's the thing that I've come to understand and believe without doubt. Allah is not going to take you out of this world until you've done what he created you to do. Now, part of that goes both ways. I'm almost done. You can see the you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But grown folks, you always have a reason to go whenever you have to go. So I don't want to feel like I'm just holding you. But in any case, also it means sometimes Allah will use a person. He said many are the jinn and men that have been created for hell. Some Allah creates to be, what do you call them? It's not a moral tale. Well, it's cautionary. Some people's life is the life of a cautionary tale. What comes to mind right away is Gil Scott Heron, right? Gil Scott Heron. I don't know if it was cocaine or if it was heroin that took him out. And may Allah have mercy on his soul, grant him forgiveness for his shortcoming, and grant him paradise. I have no reason to feel otherwise about him, but according to one documentary done on him, it said like he resigned himself to the fact that he was going to accept that his life be a cautionary tale, right? Don't do what I did that ended my life, right? So sometimes Allah uses people as cautionary tale. And then also you have those that Allah uses to raise up in our eyes for us to emulate, right, in the best way. All right, so the point is, Allah is not taking anybody out until they've done what they've been brought here to do. Now, hopefully, we all hope and pray that we've been brought and created to be good examples for good people. So in any case, so the point is, but you have to believe that. So believe. Then the L stands for locate. You have to locate. You have to find whatever that gift is. But we're at the point in this threefold or this fourfold movement where we've already said, okay, you found it, and so now you're working on mastering the domain specific knowledge that relates to your gift, and so you're working your way through the khalaqa sawa qadra hada, and so you're moving yourself to the level where you have perfected that discovered gift. And so you believe it, you locate it. Now, the next thing, you institutionalize it. You institutionalize, meaning you have to find the science, you have to find the discipline for it. You have to, you know, that's also a part of that movement for qadra, from simple to complex. I mean, you have to get yourself up to the level where you become the definition of that. And that's what the S stands for. It stands for specialize. You want to, when they open up the book, the dictionary for whatever that is, you want your picture to be the picture that they see when they look for the one who has that domain-specific knowledge, right? So that's B-L-I-S, and then the final S is success, right? There's a hint for us in this, in Surah 89, the one that ends, and it's saying, O soul that complete rest and satisfaction, enter among my workers, enter my garden, right? And this radiyatin marbiya, pleased and pleasing, right? How do you get there? How do you get to that? It's, wouldn't that be blissful? Isn't that blissful? Well, how do you get there? By following your bliss. What do you mean? By following what you love doing, and you have acknowledged it and received it as a gift from Allah. You love doing it. It's a gift from Allah. Think about things. There's many examples. I don't want to start naming other examples. But when you see someone who does something and you can see the love and the care and the attention to detail that they give to it, they do it just because they love it. Right? Because they love it. That's their following, their bliss. And that's what takes them to the quote-unquote top of their game, to the apex of their domain. Okay. And for us in this world, that's another way of saying you'll get into the heaven of that world here. But if you do in the idea, with that idea, when you realize that in your life on this earth, and you're putting it on the table as a contribution to the building of Ummah, all of this rolls up into, it's like God gave you that gift so that you can master that gift, so that you can produce from that gift what is useful for the Ummah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, surely the best among you is the one who is most useful to humanity, right? Well, for us, the first stop is building Ummah. Are you useful to your community? Are you using your gift to contribute to the community? And all of the friction and the fractious and the fitna and the da 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 goes, okay, that's a part of it. That's all a part of it. If everybody run away every time they feel a little sandpaper on their skin, it's like we're never gonna get the Ummah built, right? And the Prophet says there's a greater reward for the one who stays among the people and suffers the difficulties and the indignities that sometimes come to them. Allah is still in charge, and mashallah, in my experience, it's truly that, you know, there are certain people, it's like, okay, you keep dealing with them, but then Allah will take those people out, literally and geographically. It's like, pretty soon, you have to pass their test. you have to pass their test, right? So if they wind up getting rid of you, well, then maybe it was that you lost, or maybe the earth is spacious. I don't know what your answer is. But my experience is that, you know, it's look, hey, I ain't going nowhere. I'm here to do this. And until God decides I'm supposed to be doing something else, this is what I'm going to do. So you keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to keep learning how to master you as you are. And then once either I get that figured out and you're no longer the mosquito buzzing around my ear that you were, or God will bring your janazah, or God will give you an address out of state. So, I mean, part of it's funny, but part of it's not funny. But that was a lesson learned over years. So let's get back to this last thing. So the idea is, when you follow your bliss, God gives you pleasure in a particular thing because He's encouraging you, and I'm speaking in the best way. Is encouraged because in the Quran, maybe in the Hadith too, but the Quran, where Allah said, it said the believers in the Jannah, they will find all of their desires fulfilled, right? So you have all of your desires fulfilled, right? So you think it's every kind of desire that you have in this world that's what He's talking about? No, He's talking about your best desires, your purest desires. Those desires, they're going to be fulfilled. But in this world, this is where it begins, right? The desires begin, and as we purify our desires and as we pursue this thing that we love doing as a talent and as a skill set and as a contribution to the building of the Ummah, we'll find a pleasure in doing that and bringing that for the Ummah, bringing that to the Ummah. And that's how it gets done. So Allah makes us love. Allah makes us love that's useful for if we believe. That Allah gives us something that we love that's useful for the Ummah, for the building of Ummah. So He makes us love it. And we love it, and so there's nothing can stop us from doing it because we just love it so much. If I dare say, it's a very healthy addiction. I know, but you could use that word addiction. Okay, forgive me. All right. But it's like a healthy addiction, addicted to doing the best things for the community in this area, right? And that way we are perpetually and consistently make that contribution and build up the ummah in our space, in our lane, in our category. As Allah says, work ye in your places. What is your place, right? Your place is that you enjoy doing so much that you're willing to do it for free, but you do it so well, people are willing to pay you for it. Well, are you using that and bringing it to the table to the contribution of the building of Ummah, or are you just enjoying the goodies for yourself and not bringing it as a sadaqah, as a contribution to building Ummah? If you are the latter, then you know you got some fixing to do. So I thank you for your extra time and patience today. We're going to move on out, okay? Inshallah, we'll see those of you at ACU. I see some of my ACU folks checking in. Dante, alhamdulillah. We're going to have a private session tomorrow. Those of you interested in a clear understanding. Institute, check in there. And we do a lot. In fact, those of you who would subscribe to a clear understanding, man, there's a treasure waiting for you. Allahu alam, this is no boast. I'll tell you right off top, you know, just $10 a month. And you have private sessions where you and I can talk, dialogue back and forth after the session. And we talk about those things that we, mashallah, don't talk about openly on these lines. So, inshallah, so check in to clearunderstanding.institute, inshallah, tomorrow, ACU. Subscribers, we will see you at 10:30 tomorrow, inshallah. All right, everybody, have a wonderful day. Allah's peace be on you. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.